Well, kids, I finally did it. Your boy, your hero, your intergalactic crusader Tyler Lincoln has joined the Children of the Stars. That's right, I've donned the black robes and entered their secret circle. Now, I don't want you getting the wrong idea here. It's still the same old tie. I'm not gonna start boring you with some nonsense about fate and the stars' path and all that. Between you and me, I didn't join this club because I actually believe what those crackpots have been preaching. I joined because it was inevitable. Moreau's followers outnumber the rest of us now. The few who are still holding out are starting to get looks. It's getting dangerous. Pretty soon, I don't think I'd have a choice. It was better to convince them I'm a true believer now and not someone who's coerced. Besides, it gives me the opportunity to observe this cult firsthand. Although, I'll need to be more cautious with my recordings from now on. Something tells me Moreau and the others wouldn't take kindly to my updates. And on a personal, but completely unrelated note, I don't mind the robes. I thought I would, but they're comfier than that damn jumpsuit. And it doesn't seem to pinch as much in the, well, you know. Anyway, tonight was the big night. My initiation. Well, it wasn't only me. There were lots of us there. I couldn't risk recording it, but I'll try to describe for you what it was like. It was crowded when I arrived. Most everyone wore the robes, but there were a few others like me. Everyone was murmuring to one another in hushed voices, waiting in anticipation. When Moreau appeared on stage, he immediately had everyone's attention. No one applauded. Instead, the robed children in the crowd began to chant. It wasn't loud. It was whispered, almost like a mantra. It sounded like nonsense, but it gave me goosebumps. Moreau spoke over the chants. It was a fitting background to his lunatic sermon. Much of the content was his usual, the stuff he would say in the street, more fear-mongering about Annabelle's disappearance. But then he said something I hadn't heard before. He talked about revolution, and about how the time had come to rise up and take our world. He had been given a sign. The red fungus which covered the fields and our colony walls was an omen of change. It was weird stuff. Extra weird, but I didn't really have time to process this mushroom revolution. The chanting stopped. The Star Children formed a circle around myself and the others. They handed us this glossy, dark green leaf. It was the Beru. I didn't have long to examine it. Moreau told us to eat, and everyone obeyed. I ate the whole thing. I figured I might as well get the full dose, you know? There was more chanting, but now it was louder. Before long, the others around me were acting strangely. At first, it was twitches, or gasps of ecstasy. But it turned into convulsing, or dancing, or hopping up and down. One of them started singing. The Star Children were feeding off this energy, practically shouting the chants at this point. Listeners, I wish I could describe a mind-blowing, psychedelic event, but I felt nothing. No high, no effect whatsoever. I was disappointed. I don't know, maybe I got a dud leaf. After a few more minutes of this, the others calmed down, coming off whatever high I'd missed out on somehow. The chanting stopped and the Star Children embraced us now as their own. They hugged us and laughed. They gave us our robes. You should have seen their faces. It was joy. Do you remember Marie? She was there. I think she might have suspected I was up to something because she asked me about the Beru. She wanted to know what I saw. I didn't want to blow my cover. I didn't want everyone to think I wasn't one of them. So I lied. I told her I saw the galaxy. I told her I saw an endless field of starlight. It seemed to work. I guess she believed me. So that was that. No turning back. I'm really in it now, which means you all are too. At least, you will be if you like, follow, and subscribe. I'll talk to you kids soon, somewhere between morning prayers and mandated cult chores. Tie out.
Log Delta Echo 4 Bravo. This is Captain Beckett with the supply shuttle Catharos. And I really hope someone is receiving this. We've crash landed somewhere on Kailus. I suspect we are well outside the intended coordinates. The severe winds we encountered during entry were pushing us far off course. Despite the immediate danger, the operating system refused to grant manual control. I thought the storm would be the end of us, but the autopilot was able to compensate and at least get us to the ground in one piece. More or less. Currently, the vital shuttle support systems are functioning, but scanners and energy shields are offline. The reactor interlocks tripped and shut down on impact. I verified containment. We're currently operating off backup power. I've powered down all non-vital systems in order to conserve. The hibernation pods are intact, and all of them are fully functional. I'm no doctor, but from what I can see, the crash didn't disrupt the life support. It's strange, but I'm unable to start the resuscitation cycle on any of the pods. Similar to the nav controls, the computer refuses me access to the system. For the time being, it looks like I am on my own. But at least the crew is alive. So, that's something. Before nightfall, I stepped outside to take a look around and get a better understanding of exactly where we've ended up. And from what I can determine, we've crashed nowhere near either Alpha or New Oasis Colony. We're on the bank of a bog, surrounded by trees. There's no sign of any human presence, no artificial noises or lights. I have no idea how far I am from New Oasis, and without scanners, it will be impossible to tell. Given my original coordinates were 35 to 40 kilometers north of the colony and the direction of the storm, I'd expect I'm at least a 5-day journey by foot. There is food and there are supplies, so that's good. I may be able to offload one of the rovers in the cargo bay, but given my inability to revive the crew, as well as my uncertainty on the location, I've decided it's best to stay put for now. Instead, I've activated the emergency beacon, so it looks like I will be sitting tight until someone comes. Hopefully, it's someone and not something.
Well, we finally left Ashboro. If you ask me, it's about time. After Gerard's attack and Lauren's disappearance, I didn't want to spend another minute near that place. She never came back. We searched the area, of course, but no one expected to find anything. Not this time. Not after this had happened again. I knew she was long gone. I kept thinking about what she said. If I turn. I had told Cash about it. About how Lauren said the fungus was growing on her. How it was responsible for Gerard going crazy. As a precaution, we all inspected ourselves for signs of infection. Feet, fingers, toes. Other areas. Privately. No one else had it. All of us were fine. How did Lauren and Gerard wind up getting it? Even after the search, Cash was reluctant to leave. I thought he might still expect Lauren's return, but he didn't authorize any further searches the rest of the day. It didn't make any sense. If we weren't going to look for her, then we needed to get back to the Nock. Nothing could be gained by just sitting around. It was like he was waiting for something. It was another day and night before he announced we were going. That was this morning. All of a sudden, he ordered all of us to break down camp and prepare to head out. No one argued, myself included. I don't want to leave Lauren out here, but right now, I'd be worried if she did return. What kind of state would she be in now? She was convinced that she would turn. She made me promise not to let her get like Gerard. To be honest, I'm not sure I'm up to the task.
Log entry 7 TAC 187 Delta, Caldwell, Liam. There have been no other appearances of the creature. Despite the spotlights and added vigilance, no one has reported any encounters. While there was daylight, we searched the location in the field where I'd seen it, but there was no sign, not even footprints. For the time being, there is no indication of an imminent attack. Despite this, I'm still concerned. When Dr. Wood had departed with the search team, the Crimson Frost fungus had already covered the entire exterior of our perimeter. But now, it has been found within the walls. There were patches of it on both the outside and inside of our structures. And this afternoon, I discovered signs of it within the soil of our crops. I am anxious for the doctor's return and the possibility of good news, but I fear the worst. Raising these concerns with the council has been unproductive. Amos is telling everyone the fungus is a sign, an omen of the evils which threaten us if we don't follow his teaching. He's using this for his purposes, twisting it so he can gain more followers. With the council almost entirely in the cult's grip, and the majority of our settlement turning to his leadership, I'm afraid I'm no longer capable of fulfilling my duty. I do not say these next words lightly. I believe it is necessary to move with force against the Children of the Stars and disband the council. There is still a small number among the security teams who have not joined him. I've discreetly instructed a few men to seal and guard the armory, and I've modified the watch bill to shift all of Amos's people off duty tonight. I want to make sure they are unarmed. I do not want a firefight. I've also posted a lookout on the east wall. She's to keep an eye on the chapel, to monitor and report when their members are convened. That will be the best time to strike. I take no pleasure in what has to be done, and I am hopeful this coup can be squashed and order maintained with minimal or even zero casualties. I believe...
To Mother Hen. I picked up a signal on the portable scanner this morning. It's faint, but it looks like the Catharos might have made it to Kailuz after all. You better hope it's still in one piece. It's the first good news we've had since leaving the Nock. The doctor ran off last night. I thought maybe she'd gotten wise to our schemes and decided to give us the slip, but Foster claims she's infected. She confessed this to him before disappearing. Said she had the same thing as Gordon. It doesn't matter. We probably would have killed her anyways. The emergency signal from the shuttle is pretty weak, so I estimate it'll take us at least another 2 days on foot. That's if another storm doesn't slow us down. It's further north, but the others didn't argue. They'll all be fine, especially if the cargo is there when we arrive. Foster is the only one among us who doesn't know. He's still worried about his doctor friend. Not sure it makes sense to keep him around much longer. To be honest, I would have done away with him by now if not for finding out he's not who he says he is. It was Max who ID'd him first. She told me last night. At first, I didn't believe it myself. You'll get a kick out of this. His name isn't Will Foster. It's Corey Hughes. Yeah, that Corey Hughes. Whiz kid and pain in the ass son of the Linus Hughes. King shit of Oasis Corp. No wonder he has a way with the scrap. Not sure what the hell he's doing way out here, though. Lucky for him, he's connected. It may be the only thing keeping him alive right now.
Mr. Park, it's been too long since my last message, but I've been busy. I'm pleased to report many of the barriers which stood in our way have been torn down. My alliance with Amos Moreau has indeed proven beneficial, even more so than I originally anticipated. Perhaps I shouldn't be so forthright on the Comlink uploads, but I have full confidence in our private encryptions. Nevertheless, it goes without saying that what I'm about to tell you should remain between you and I. The board will learn only what I consider necessary, and only in due time. Thanks to our new influential friend and his ever-growing zealous mob, governance of the new Oasis colony has been delivered fully into my hands. Tonight, but not even an hour ago, the Children of the Stars seized control of the armory and disarmed the security forces that were still loyal to Caldwell. There was some resistance. A few casualties were incurred by those unwilling to peacefully transfer power, but it was easily dealt with. The only colonists who remain are either Children of the Stars, or those indifferent or unwilling to challenge the shifting regime. Caldwell himself was one such casualty. It was necessary that he not be taken prisoner. There would have been no possibility of placating him. He considered himself rightfully deserving of his position. There would have been no chance of him dutifully stepping aside. Even if he did, I would never be certain he wouldn't be plotting in the background, waiting for a time to strike back. No, he had to be removed. Permanently. The death was quiet. Quick. A knife to the throat. I would have preferred if Moreau had made a public example out of the execution. With his sway in the colony, it would have been easy enough to prosecute and carry out judgment on charges of negligence. It's half true. What with the colonists disappearing and Caldwell's cowardly inaction. But Moreau believes our dear governor's corpse can serve a higher purpose. I didn't ask for an explanation. It seems a trivial detail to squabble over. Besides, the Revenant has given me everything we'd agreed upon. In return for placing me in power as acting governor, Moreau only asks that I give him and his followers my full support among the Oasis board. This should be no problem, but I will require your help convincing them. I'm sure that's well within your abilities. Please, help them understand that the change in leadership will be in everyone's best interests. You can assure them the Children of the Stars will not disrupt Oasis business. I'll see to that. If nothing else, with me in power of the new Oasis colony, you can promise them that this new arrangement will be much more lucrative for us all.